Sports and Music with Mo Egger, only on Easy Way Broadcasting. Your host is Mo Egger, who brings to the show his talent and drive as a former NBA player and now an artist with his own original music. Join us as we look inside the world of Mo Egger. Here is your host, Mo Egger.
Yeah.
What up, Mo World? We back with another episode of Sports and Music with Mo Egger. And we have a very special show today. We have some good guests on, as usual. You know, we didn't get a chance to work out, but you know, we're right back in full effect, getting it in. You know, it was a really good weekend for myself. I should say I finally shot the video to Motown, my self-entitled album, and it went really well, man. So, you know, we're just going to get ready to get that edited up and, you know, and broadcast that out to the world. That's going to be pretty good, man. We had a lot of fun, you know, shooting the video, man, and, you know, it worked out really well. And so, you know, we're just working hard, man. We're putting it all together, man. So it's good to have you guys here again. You know, I know you guys missed us last week, but we're back. And I got the boy Rashad Phillips, man, Detroit legend, basketball player. You know, he's one of those guys I looked up to as a youngster. And, you know, he was really good with that ball, man. He was almost like Allen Iverson. You know, people compare him to AI a lot, but he's still considered one of the best Detroit guards of all time. And I say a lot considering we had a lot of great guys from out of Michigan State, you know, like Steve Smith, you know, another guy. You know what I mean? The list goes on, man, but he's one of the best guards ever. But, yeah, the website is back working. You know, go out and check out moegger.com. That's moegger.com. And it's really good, man. The Motown album is doing really well, man. I'm really proud of the reaction I've gotten from people. And it's growing. So let's get it, man. Rashad, man, we got Rashad on the line yet?
Thanks for having me.
What up, boy?
Thanks for having me.
What's up with you, man? You here?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What's good, man? Shaw Phillips, boy, I haven't talked to you in a minute, man. How's everything going?
I know. Man, everything good, man. I can't complain, man. I'm trying to be like you one day, man. What's going on, man?
Nah, man. At one point, I was trying to be like you, man. You know, I grew up watching you as a young boy, man. When you was at Ferndale over at UAD, you and Willie Green getting it in, getting buckets, man. You know, I used to live right around the corner from UAD, so I used to go up there every day as a kid, man. When I was, I used to stay right on Homer, between Midland and Puritan, dog.
So I used to wow.
Yeah, I used to go to hop that good gate, hit Callahan Hall, get some J's up. You know what I'm saying? So I was, UAD was the neighborhood school, bro.
Yeah, man. Really. This area is really rich in tradition in basketball, man. I was very fortunate to play in a place like University of Detroit, man, to represent my city, having Detroit across my chest and being able to reach out, you know, nationwide with what we can do as an individual.
Exactly. All right, man, you know, introduce the world to Rashad Phillips, man. Let everybody know who you are, bro.
Look, man, I'm Rashad Phillips, man. I played at University of Detroit, first University of Detroit All-American point guard. I got my number retired 3 years ago. I was in the Raptors. The first Detroit point guard to ever have his number retired. Right now, I got my own basketball academy running out of Michigan. I got 200 kids. I'm training some of the top players in the state of Michigan. I'm actually on my way to see James Young, which is the number 5 player in the country, going to Kentucky next year. I've been training him. I got a movie coming out at the end of the summer about my whole life story. I got a book coming out, a tell-all book after that, and I got training DVDs after that as well. So I'm doing a little bit of everything, man. I'm trying to stay busy.
Dope. That's pretty cool, man. You know, I was actually on Twitter like a couple weeks ago, and I saw one of those videos, like a ball handling, like, you know, video of you, you know what I'm saying, going through your handles and everything, man. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm just getting ready for this training DVD. I got a lot of people, a lot of followers, supporters across the country who can't come to Michigan and actually train with me. So the best thing I can do is start putting training DVD together, where I can have my supporters and kids who want to learn and work on their ball handling skills all over the country to be able to purchase my DVD and actually still feel like they're getting trained by myself. So I'm very fortunate to be in this position, and I'm young enough where I still can play at a high level, so I can still do the stuff that I did at 22 years old. So I'm taking advantage of that before I get into my old age.
Right, right. That's what's up, man. So how often do you talk to, like, Willie Green and those guys and Coach Perry and stuff like that? Do you still talk to those guys?
I talked to Willie about a month ago. We text all the time. So we have a great relationship. Willie was one of the guys that came up under me. He'll tell you himself, I was the guy that recruited Willie Green to come to U of D. You know, I was the guy that was like, look, man, you come play with me. We're going to have some fun. I seen the potential in him, and he came here. So we've always – he was my suite mate in college, so he was my roommate. We did everything. We shared clothes, man. You know how it is on campus, man. Like, it's just a brotherhood that can never be broken. I'm so proud of what he's doing in the community in Detroit, what he's doing out there in L.A., and also him, his longevity of staying in the NBA for 10-plus years. Man, I couldn't be any more proud of him.
Definitely, man. I feel like we all came up together kind of, you know, even when I used to go to Great Washington every summer. Going out there and shutting that down every year, you know what I mean? The P. Doug camp.
Oh, man. Like when I first seen you play, man, I was like, man, this young kid got game. And I was, you know, and then when you started to grow, I remember my dad used to call you Ray Allen. You know, my dad gave everybody NBA names, and it was like, man, you was just a flat out shooter. You could score. You can put the ball on the deck. You was an underrated defender. You was an underrated athlete. And what you brought to Michigan State, what you brought to the Big Ten, I think you opened a lot of people's eyes. You were one of those underdog type of players, and you kind of overachieved. And I was very excited to see you do what you did on the court, for you to get your stint with the Dallas Mavericks and so forth. I was very happy overseas watching you guys do that. And I love to see guys that came up under me, and I watched them grow to do successful things in what you're doing now as well with the music industry.
Yeah, man, you know, it's cool, man. I appreciate everything, man. And it seems like yesterday when we was having those conversations, even when I did, you know, my little unofficial visit to U of D, I just remember just walking through Callahan Hall, man. I mean, you were just talking. We just, you know, you basically kept it real with me all the way, you know. You kept it real with me, you know. You know, eventually I had to make my decision, you know, I ended up going to Michigan State. But I still respect that conversation we had, you know. And
absolutely.
And that was when I was maybe 16, 17 years old. So, I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. But
absolutely.
Yeah, man. So I remember going up to Reach, man, and playing ball at Reach. Man, is St. Rita's, is it still, you know, they still got their thing going on up there? What's going on?
Yeah. Now they still have the program still going, but it's moved to 7 Mile and John R. So it's still like 5 minutes away from where it used to be. And it's still going. My father still has the program running. And obviously – the kids, the Eastside kids, the Detroit Persian kids are the biggest attraction there. And as you can see, Persian is the number one team in the state here. They're 24-0. They're playing right now against Romulus at Callahan Hall. I'm on my way there, and it's just awesome, you know, to see that. I just love to see kids nurturing themselves and getting better, just being better people into the world. At the end of the day, sports, life, it all intertwines into one, and at the end of the day, it's all about productivity, whether you're playing sports or you're out of sports and just putting into the world.
Exactly. You know, speaking of, you know, we're on sports and music, man. You know, it's more than just sports and music. Man, I feel like my show is a lifestyle show. It really highlights people that wants to be, that's able to do other things besides sports, man, but using sports as a platform to be able to reach out to the world, help serve, and, you know, do other things.
Absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How do you feel like sports and music go hand in hand? How do you feel like, you know, the things that you're doing outside of sports, you know, landed you, you know, respect to be able to do other things?
Well, I think music and sports go hand in hand, because you look at music and you look at sports, and they're both come from being creative. Sports is to be good in sports, you have to be creative. To be a good artist, you have to be creative. So I think the two artistic forms, they run parallel with each other, and it's always going to be like that. You take all the guys like the Allen Iverson that came into the NBA. He kind of molded the hip hop vibe into the sports world, and then you got the football players doing it now. And I just think that music gives a person some type of identity, and I think in sports you can identify yourself with some type of music, and when you do that, it kind of gives you that independent creativity where you can go out and explore. Music and sports is about exploring, being creative, being artistic. And I think it goes hand in hand with each other.
Exactly. Yeah, and speaking of music, man, you know, I know you used to rap, man. I don't know if you're still doing your rap thing. What's the rap career, man? I remember.
Hey, you know, I still got bars, okay? I really do. And I, as a kid, I was gifted in rapping. I could just put words together and creatively, you know, make them rhyme and tell stories. And I still can do that today. I can get right in the booth. And I got a little studio in my house, man, and I dibble and dabble. One of my best friends is Royce the 5'9". His son trains in my program, so I got a huge music fetish, you know, and I'm very still musically inclined. It's just I got so many hats on right now, but if someone ever brought me into the booth, and you can ask anybody, I got bars.
That's what it is, man. I remember. It's crazy. Royce, man. You know, Royce is actually one of my good friends, also, man. I mean, I had the pleasure of Royce.
Great dude.
Two years ago, and you know, it's good to be able to see Royce 5'9" actually get over the hump, you know, and get back with Eminem, and you know, and start the whole slaughter off. You know, I consider him the leader of the group. You know,
that, he started that.
Yeah, him and Joe Buttons. I think they put it together. But it's definitely good to see Royce. You know. He's stuck in there, man. You know, I feel like that's one thing, you know, in life, man. Regardless if you're playing sports, music, anything else, man. I feel like, you know, he took a lot of bumps and bruises, man. He actually stuck in there, man. So how important do you feel like it is, you know, to have patience, to continue to grind, and even when other people don't see your vision, man, you just, you know, you keep going, and then you finally break through. Man, how do you feel like perseverance is key in success, bro?
I think perseverance is the perfect word to get through. I think that everyone in the world has their own trial, their own tribulation, their own obstacle, their own hurdle. You have to get over that. And I think having a mental toughness and having a vision, a wide vision, and not a tunnel vision, but a wide-range vision to see the big picture in life. I think sometimes people get caught up in the small picture, and they tend to fail because they get caught up in the small picture. But if you look at the big picture on life, there's so much in front of you in life. And I think sometimes we always want to look what's behind us, but it's behind us for a reason. So if you look in front of you, see the wide picture, and you see everything in front of you, set everything on the table, I think you're more susceptible to being successful. And I think if people use that blueprint more, we will have more people persevering through their trials. I think people quit too early in life. I think people quit too early.
Exactly. You're absolutely correct, man. I feel like it's sad to say, man, I live out here in Los Angeles, California, and I don't know if this is a good example or not, but I feel like, you know, there's a lot of times where if I'm getting on the freeway, I might see a kid that's, like, holding a sign up, but he looked like he might be 18, 19 years old.
Wow.
I'm like, come on, man. It's mentally, I'm like, man, did he give up a little bit too early? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's sad. You know, that's sad. I see it all the time here in Michigan, and especially seeing a young person that is looking like he's giving up on life, and it's like, man, you're so young, you're 20, you're 21, you're 18, and it really hurts, and it's like I want to pull over to the side and pull that kid over and say, hey, look, man, wake up, you know, so much life in front of us. We don't know what's gonna happen tomorrow. We don't know what's gonna happen in the next minute, so we have to somehow try to find our lane, find a niche. God gives everyone a talent. God gives everyone a gift. Whatever that gift is, it's your job to find your gift. Whatever your gift is, find it. When you find it, nurture it and use it, and that's how you are. Then that's how you become successful in life.
Exactly, and that's absolutely correct. You know, because God, he puts drive in everyone. You know, so I feel like
everybody.
Yeah. It's up to you. Like you said, it's really up to you. You know, you pray for it, then you go get it. And that's it, man. But, yeah, we're on sports and music, man. We got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Rashad Phillips. Let's get it.
Mm-hmm.
Only on Blog Talk Radio will you hear the celebrity host of Easy Way Broadcasting. Network owner Eric Easy Zuli treats his 500,000 Twitter followers to insider tips and connections on upcoming shows with the top celebrities and business leaders. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy and tune in 7 days a week to talk with the Easy Way Broadcasting show host at 914-338-1303. Visit www.easywaybroadcasting.com to advertise on the Easy Way Broadcasting Network.
Yes, yes, yes. We back sports music with Mo Egger. I got the boy Rashad Phillips, Detroit's very own. What up, though? What up, brother?
I'm here, baby. I'm here. What up, though?
What up, though? Yo, man, it's a lot of fans out there, man. You know, a lot of guys, you know, grow up watching you, man. What's your biggest advice for kids, you know, who need to work on their ball handling, man? Some of these kids out here, they can't handle the rock like you did, man. What they got to do, man? They got to come to the camp. You know, what advice do you have?
What I try to tell kids is the YouTube and all that stuff has ruined our kids, because the kids they're going backwards. They want to learn the tricks of using the ball, throwing the ball through their legs, going behind their back before they learn the standard dribbling mechanics. And I think what kids need to understand is they need to go back to the old traditional fundamental rules. Learn how to dribble with your right hand. Learn how to dribble with your left hand. Learn how to cross over. Learn how to put the ball behind your back. Put the ball through your legs without dribbling, either hand. You know, the repetition is so key in anything in life, especially basketball. You want to be a great free throw shooter, you got to keep shooting free throws, and you got to shoot them the right way with your mechanics. If you want to be a great ball handler, you got to dribble the ball all the time. I used to dribble the ball through my neighborhood, through cars, through traffic, in the store, out of the store, at home, in the basement. The ball was just like an extension of me. And kids nowadays, they don't want to just – they want to wake up one day and think they're Chris Paul. Instead of working to be Chris Paul, they want to wake up and just say, hey, man, I want to be this one. You got to work for that.
All right. I definitely remember taking my rock everywhere I went, man. I've been living those things on my basketball. You know what I mean? Just dribble up and down the street. It might,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely important. So, like, what's your inspiration, man? What keeps you inspired every single day?
The opportunity to be successful inspires me. Just the opportunity. Whether I serve that opportunity or not, it's the fact that I have an opportunity.
Exactly.
Anytime you have an opportunity, you should welcome that, because everybody doesn't get an opportunity to do that. So when it's presented, I have a chance. Me individually, I have an opportunity to be successful at my gift that I found. So that's what inspires me outside of my kids. Of course, I got two beautiful daughters at home. My kids inspire me. You know, I look at my daughters and I don't want them to struggle like daddy did. I don't want them to go through that. So daddy works, you know, but other than that, the opportunity is what inspires me, man.
That's what's up. So obviously that's what keeps you focused too. That's good, man. So where else did you play, man? You know, for those who didn't know, after you were D, like I remember you did a stint in the D League. Where else did you actually play?
Yeah, when I left U of D, I played in the D League for a minute. Didn't like it. You know, I was player of the month there. I just didn't really like it. So I signed a deal. I played over in Italy. I broke the scoring record my rookie year in Italy. I averaged 36 points a game in Italy my first year, and then I ended up going to France. And led the league in scoring and assists in France. I won MVP there. And I went back to France the following year. And then I went to Turkey and played, and I went to Portugal, and then I played in Poland, and I played in Australia. And my last season when I retired at 30 years old, I played in Saudi Arabia.
Mm.
And it was to the point where I came to the realization, man, basketball has brought me all the way to Saudi Arabia.
Right.
I went from a snotty-nosed kid on 8 Mile in Dequindre, I-75, East State Fair, my neighborhood, to Saudi Arabia.
Right.
I was having lunch with the Prince my last year.
That's amazing.
I just, you know, and I never in a million years thought that would happen. I thought I would just go to the NBA, play my 12 years in the NBA, drive off in the sunset and say, hey, I'm done.
Right. That's amazing, man. You just never know what life has in store for you, man. You know, I spent some time overseas over in Spain, and me personally, I feel like it was a life-changing experience for me, man. So how do you feel like just being over in a different country gave you a better perspective on, you know, how you feel in America? Like, did it change your mindset? Do you feel like you do things differently? Do you approach things differently? Like, what are your takes on that?
It helped me learn to evolve with as a person first. It helped me evolve as a person. Because growing up in Detroit, all I knew was Detroit. I was sheltered. All I knew was Detroit, Detroit, Detroit. But seeing these different countries, meeting these new ethnicities and these new genres of people and all the diverse and understanding how different businesses work and dealing with this person and that person, when I got back to Michigan, I felt that I was more ready for the world. Not basketball. I was ready for the world to go out and try to conquer the world. That's how I felt. I felt that I can take on any obstacle because my 8 years overseas, I was faced with a lot of hurdles and barriers and hurdles, and I faced that. So when I got back home, I felt that I was my scars had turned to scabs, and I was ready.
Right. That's pretty cool, man. And I think that's inspiring, man. You know, we have kids listening, man. What would you tell the kids, you know, just thinking like, okay, you work your whole life. Of course you want to make it to the NBA. But talk about the opportunities you guys that you can make overseas, man, the money you can make overseas and actually make a successful living by being overseas, man.
A lot of people don't understand that the overseas is a job. And do not, people listening out there, take this advice. Always have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E. And plan A never works. Plan A never works. Always remember that. Plan A never works. So whatever your plan A is, it's a 95% chance that it won't work. So you always going to be living off plan B or plan C. So make sure your plan B and plan C will make you happy.
Right.
Because I'm living in plan B because my plan A didn't work.
Right. Yeah, definitely, man. I feel like it's that's an honest assessment, man. I feel like realistic goals. You know, I think people need to start setting realistic goals for themselves and then,
right,
you know, going to accomplish them. You know, at the end of the day, man, God says you can move mountains with a faith, a mustard seed of faith. So I feel like it's everything is possible, but at the end of the day, it's always good to have a backup plan. And I always knew that music was something that I really wanted to do. I've been doing music since I was a kid. I talk about it all the time. You know, I started when I was 6 years old, you know, from glee clubs to producing to now I'm mixing, mastering, writing, you know, so I'm doing everything, you know, and it was a plan B, but it was a really, really good backup plan for me, man, that I really
absolutely
took a lot of pride in, you know.
And it's your passion and it's what you do, it's in you, you know. I get questions all the time about when I train kids, I don't never bring a lesson plan when I do my camps. I'll have 200 kids in the gym, and I don't have a lesson plan. And a parent came up to me one time, and she said, how are you running the camp and you don't have any lesson plan? I said, ma'am, it's in me.
Right.
And watch an artist perform, you don't see them holding their lyrics in their hand.
No.
Because
no,
hey, the lyrics.
Exactly. That's a really good example, man, just because I feel like music is so second nature to me, man. And it's honest, I was at it. Of course, I'm continuing to work at it, but it was so second nature. Basketball was second nature. So I think once you're talented, man, you really don't necessarily, you know, just lay it out there as much to where people see, okay, well, he has a plan, this and another. You just do it, man, and it comes out great because you're not really thinking about it, man. I think the best things happen is when they're just effortless, or you make them seem effortless at the end of the day. You know, you don't want to just do nothing without planning. But, you know, once it's just easy for you, man, you just go out there and do it, man. And, you know, you just watch the outcome, you know.
You just get it done. You know, the best things that's been done has been spontaneous.
Exactly. Let me ask you this. How was it playing for Coach Watson?
Coach Watson was a great coach, man, great teacher. He was more of a teacher than a coach, I would have to say. He taught me so much in terms of the scientific part of the sport, because I had all the physical and athletic ability and all the skill. He couldn't teach me that because I had already had that going into college. But what he taught me is the angles and how to study tape and how to study film and how to be here on a defensive assignment and be here on an offensive assignment. He taught me so many of the nuances of the game, where I was able to apply that with my game and watch my whole skill set and what I learned from Coach Watson and his staff. It kind of took an organic turn, and it kind of evolved, and I became, you know, a really good player.
That's what's up. And obviously he's probably giving you some life, you know, life lessons too.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, Coach Watson is a guy that had been working with youth and coaching great kids and being productive, you know, his whole career. And that was one of the reasons why I signed up to come to UAD, is because Coach Watson was such a great leader and he had such a strong voice throughout the city of Detroit. I wouldn't want to play for any other coach at that time.
Right. Yeah, he's very influential, man. Let me flip the script a little bit, man. I know you have your organization going on, man. Detroit. Let's talk about Detroit as a city and some of the things that you're going to do to make it better. You know, because obviously, you know, the city is probably not at its highest right now. But, you know, what are we doing as Rashad Phillips to help the kids, man, and being a positive example for them, bro?
Well, what we got to understand in the city that we live in, our surroundings do not have to reflect how we feel inside. And I tell that to kids all the time. Do not be a product of your environment if your environment is negative.
Right.
Be a product of yourself putting out positivity. As a city as a whole, the city has struggled economically, and they're still trying to build it back up. And one thing about Detroit, it's a fighting city. This city
Absolutely.
Is full of survivors.
Absolutely.
People walk in this city, they have a lot of pride, and we are survivors here. And I think over time, I think the city will get itself back on its feet, and I think that the city will flourish. We're trying to build downtown up and continue building land there and keeping the economic value high there downtown, and hopefully it has some type of snowball, and it reaches down to the city.
That's what's up, man. And you know what? I think it's going to be good, man, because we have a lot of people out here that's representing Detroit, man. I feel like that's major, you know. I feel like I named my album Motown, you know, because, you know, Motown. But at the same time, I'm always talking about Detroit, Michigan, man. You know, we have a lot of talented people that come from Detroit. I tell people all the time, the most talented people in the world come from Detroit, Michigan, man. You think about it. From
music,
athletes, man, we represent big time, man. And, you know, even Big Sean holding it down right now. You know, he's a Detroit guy. You know, we have
Roy.
Roy's, man. The list is crazy. We don't want to even talk about the old school from Marvin Gaye to
the, yeah, man.
We did it, man.
USA. Yeah, people forget that the history comes from Detroit, man.
Yes, absolutely. Let me ask you this, man. How important is social networking is for you right now, man? How much are you using the Twitters and the Instagrams and the Facebooks and, you know, to, you know, promote the basketball skills program?
I think that, you know, you have to adjust to the world today. In today's world, social media gives everyone a voice. And I think you can use social media to your advantage, or you can use it to your disadvantage. I think it's very relevant in today with businesses and being able to – you can kind of market yourself nowadays with the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Instagrams. You kind of cut out the middleman now. You know,
yeah,
like I don't need an agent to promote my business. Like, I could promote it myself through Twitter and Facebook. You know,
absolutely.
So I don't think the middleman is happy anymore. But that's the world we live in today. And again, I think that it's been so many people that's been popular have made themselves stars off YouTube. And look at Justin Bieber; he comes from YouTube,
right?
You know, I mean, the beauty of social media, when it works in your favor, it's a beautiful thing. You know, so I just say it's like having gold in one hand and having a weapon in the other. How do you use it? Do you use the gold to make yourself better, or do you use the weapon to hurt someone else? And that's what social media is. You know, your choice.
Yeah, it's up to you, man. It's up to you to abuse it or use it, man. So I feel like, you know, social media has helped me so much to be able to feel like I'm really in control of my own career. You know,
yep.
I put out what I need to put out whenever I want to. I fall back when I want to, you know, so it's all good, man.
Yep.
Since we're talking about social media, man, let's tell the world how they can get in touch with you, man. Give us your Instagrams, your Twitter, your Facebook, your YouTube, man. Where can we check out Rashad Phillips?
Y'all can follow me on Twitter. I'm RP3 Natural. And when I come from my neighborhood, that's what they used to call me. They used to call me the Supernatural. So you can find me on Twitter. And I tweet all the time. I got inspirational things. I got personal things. I got sports things. I just tweet what I'm feeling at that particular moment. So it's fun. Follow me again, RP3 Natural.
Absolutely. That's Rashad Phillips, y'all, man. Once again, I want to thank you again for, you know, coming on Sports and Music with Mo Egger, man. Let's definitely continue to stay in contact with each other, man. Let's talk about that music, man. Let's get you back in the booth, man. You need some Mo Egger, Boogie.
I need some of those beats, man. I'm gonna get with you, man. I got you. I got more bars in the prison. I'm coming to you.
That's what it is. You got more bars in the Kit Kat. That's only four bars. All right, yeah. That was a trick question, man. If you didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, good, man. Thanks again, man. You know, tell your pops I said what's up, man. Tell him much respect. He's one of the guys who motivated me back in the day, man. And, you know,
absolutely.
Going to playing at
absolutely.
Family, you know, he gave me a lot of confidence, man. You probably don't even know that, but he gave me a lot of confidence back in high school when I was trying to really make a name for myself. You know, so definitely tell him I said what's up. And,
I will.
Let's keep our city alive, man, and keep teaching the kids, man. Let's get it.
I appreciate it, man. We'll chop it soon.
Thank you, brother. All right, guys. It's Sports and Music with Mo Egger, man. We got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Easy Way Broadcasting shows powered by WTVNetworks.com every day of the week on Blog Talk Radio with celebrity hosts Eric Zulli, Shane Sparks, Sarah Winchester, Rick Rosman, and Mo Egger. Easy Way Broadcasting is the hottest place for music, sports, celebrity gossip, advice, and insider tips. Follow at Easy Way Broadcast. Call Easy Way Broadcasting shows with your questions and comments at 914-338-1303. Join the 500,000 Twitter followers who have discovered Eric Zulli's newest project, Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTVNetworks.com on Blog Talk Radio. Find the most up-to-date info on his show, Easy Talk, which airs every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time by following his Twitter site at Easy Way Broadcast and at Eric Zulli. EZ connects listeners with their favorite celebrities and Hollywood insiders who are doing it the easy way. And you can, too. Talk to Eric during the show at 914-338-1303.
Yes, we back. Sports and Music with Mo Egger, man. I just had the pleasure of talking with Rashad Phillips, Detroit's very own, one of the best to come out of Detroit, period, point blank. But, yeah, this is Easy Way Broadcasting, if you didn't know. Powered by WTV Network. We out here. We winning. So our next guest is a young man, 15 years old. He, you know, he considers himself to be the next Tiger Woods. What's up, Lil Georgie on the phone?
How you doing, Lil?
Yo, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up, man? How you doing, brother?
Good. Just living life. How about you?
I'm living life too, man. It's good to have you on, man. Thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you very much.
What's up, man? Introduce the world, man. Who, you know what I'm saying? Everybody know who Lil Jordan is.
Yeah, I'm Lil Jordan. I've been playing competitive golf since I was 2 years old. I also have fun doing some music. I'm a hip-hop artist, been doing that since 8. Just pretty much been doing it. I'm 15 years old right now. I opened up for Jabberwocky's Bay Bash, so I've been pretty much around. Golf is pretty much my main sport. I also play a little basketball, so I'm just having fun right now. I'm in high school. I'm just a freshman, so, yeah, I'm just doing whatever I have to do.
That's what's up, man. Sound like you're growing up pretty fast, man. You sound like a grown man. You're only 15 years old.
Oh, yeah, I mean, my dad's taught me, and a lot of people that I've been with, you know, they mature me a little fast, which is good for me.
Definitely, man. Let's talk about golf. Now, how did you end up getting into golf? You said 2 years old, right?
Yeah, I was actually, it was actually when I was 1.5, my dad used to play golf because I was his only child with my mom at the time. And I just grabbed his club, and I was just swinging around with it. And so he, you know, he just decided to cut down his sand wedge. And at 2 years old, he brought me out to the Pebble Beach driving range. And, you know, he taught me how to grip and my stance and everything. And I was just hitting 30 yards down the fairway just naturally. And he just noticed that I had, a talented gift. So we went out, and ever since that day, I followed Tiger Woods on Golf Channel. Been playing golf, and then my first tournament was at 3 years old. So, you know, it's not only that it's a competitive sport, you know, it was a fun thing for me just to go out and meet new people.
Right. That's pretty good, man. That's inspirational, man. So what are some of what major influences, like, you have with music and golf? Like, how does, you know, you're the first person I ever met that's actually into hip-hop that actually played golf, man. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, a lot of people tell me that it's one thing if you're a hip-hop artist, you know, playing golf, but you're a different thing. You're a golfer, you know, going into the hip-hop game, which is a lot different than anyone expected. If I had to say my influences in music, I would easily say Will Smith and Eminem. And I think Eminem is a great influence to me because he just shows that, you know, I bet all the critics, you know, before he blew up, you know, they judged him on his ethnicity, but, you know, his dream was to be a true hip-hop artist and to, you know, spread his name throughout the world. And the way he is right now, you know, you act like there's never been such a, you know, a harsh way of getting into the music business. And then Will Smith is another one. I mean, his old school hip-hop, you know, the way he is, he just gets everyone into it. Everyone gets happy when you hear his music. And the way that he's doing in the acting business, the way he's just a businessman in general, is just showing that, you know, he's an inspiration to a lot of people.
Right, man. It's funny you say that, man. You know, Eminem was one of the guys who was probably my biggest influence to actually start producing. You know, I started producing when I was 17 years old. And,
yeah.
After I heard Eminem's third album, I want to say the Eminem Show, and then, you know,
okay.
That's the decision I made. I'm like, man, I just want to do production. I want to make beats. So
Eminem,
yeah, are you from Detroit too? Yeah,
I'm actually
from Detroit. Okay. Yeah, so Eminem was definitely one of my favorite. He's still my favorite rapper to this
day.
You know, it's good that you're only 15 years old and you up on Eminem, so that shows where you at, man. We definitely need to get together and make some work, man.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I love true artists, and you know, people that talk about the real things in life is the people I follow.
Exactly. So so what inspires you every day, man? You know, to be able to keep creating, you know, in sports and everything.
I think it's just, you know, because, you know, a lot of, you know, life is short. So, I mean, I try to do the most I can, but in a fun way. Golf is pretty much, you know, a way to get around with people. Like, all the celebrity events that I got invited to that were golf charity events, you know, you can be a humanitarian and, you know, you can be a celebrity too, but you meet other people and just see how they are and just make new friends. Music is pretty much the same way. Like, I got to meet a lot of new artists. I went to the BMI Awards the last 2 years and met all the hip-hop artists there, including, like, Will.i.am and Snoop Dogg were the hosts. It's just a way of expressing, you know, how I feel about life. Like, you know, I'm just really pretty much having fun, and that's what a lot of people have to do these days. You know, people think that I'm taking it a little too serious just because I started out at a young age, but really it's just a fun thing to me.
That's good, man. Yeah, I know golf is one of those big networking things. You know, times I got on the golf, you know, and on the field, it was always a good networking situation, man. I was able to meet people, you know, build different relationships just because of golf, man. And I feel like it's really important to learn how to play golf, man. I'm still working on my golf game now, so, you know, that's,
we got to go out and play sometime.
Maybe give me some points. They send you the next Tiger Woods, man. I don't know.
I mean, my dad explained golf as you could take a businessman, you know, a professional athlete, and maybe an actor, and then you put a little kid there, you guys actually can compete, you know, in golf. Because
exactly.
Usually, it's a sport where it's you play yourself pretty much in the course. It's not really against any other people, so it's a different type of sport.
Exactly. So, so what's next for you, man? You know, you're doing music, you're playing golf. So what's the next on the table for you, man?
Well, right now, I just got over basketball season, so now I'm playing golf right now for my high school team. Just played first a couple, two matches. And then right now, I'm working with Easy right now to see what's going on with that. You know, I'm making more music. I'm just, you know, pretty much right now it's a process, you know, where I want to take things a little more serious. You know, I'm just waiting for, like, that Usher, you know, to come and pick me up. Like, I can be as Justin Bieber, you know, just to spread my name throughout the world because I got a lot of things going on. So that's pretty much it. I'm just trying to see what goes on in the future. I'm just doing things right now that can benefit me in the future.
Okay. Well, that's what's up, man. Well, let's definitely link up some time here in the pool, man. You know, I'm going to start on Twitter. You know, I'm talking to Eric. And we definitely need to get in that studio so we can get some music popping for you, man. So whenever that next Usher or anyone come and see you, man, you'll be ready, man. We'll have you right.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks.
Yeah. Man, I thank you once again for, you know, joining us on the show, man. So good luck with everything and sports music with Mo Egger. This is Lil Jordan, man. How can people find you, man? Where are your Twitter at?
Yeah, you could find me at just go to my website, liljordan.com, so liljordan.com. You know, you got everything. Yeah. You got Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, but make sure you check out there's a new MySpace coming out, and I did an interview for them, so I should be up on there soon. So yeah, just that's pretty much it. You can follow me on those on liljordan.com.
That's what's up, man. Well, yep. I appreciate you coming in again, man. Good luck with everything, man. And let's get it popping here in the future, brother.
Yeah, thank you very much. Keep in touch.
No doubt. That's Lil Jordan. Next up and coming, hip hop golf guy. You know he's out here doing his hip hop and he's good on that good golf field. So it's amazing to see people, you know, be pioneers and do different things that we don't expect, man. It's sports and music, man. We're bringing the best out of everyone. You know, we have our highlight artist of the week, Funk House, man. You on the phone, Funk? Funk House.
Hello?
Funk, what it do, baby?
What's good with it, man?
Man, what's the word? You out here working, man? I don't know, man. I heard you not working right now, man. What's the word with you, bro?
Man, I just dropped the third album, man. 313-13, man. That third win, man. Shit is fire right now.
You already know. I'm out here watching. I'm seeing it. I'm like, let me get Funk on here. I see him trying to be a little active, man. He put the new album out, man. I hear you running around with 50 Cent a little bit, man. Yayo and all those G-Unit guys, man. You know, let's talk about that, man.
Yeah, man, you know, it's a good look right now. You know, me and the boy Fifth, me, Fifth, and Ye, we just did a song and shit for Yayo Mixtape called Rider. Nice little record, you know what I'm saying? Nigga just grinding, man, just putting it together.
That's what's up, man. You know, you did some good work together. We got about three or four bangers together, you know. We got the Money Machine. We got the I Ain't Playing. We got the, you know, we got joints.
Oh, yeah, what we came to do, that's one, you know, that what we came to do, man, that's
dope-ass
record. I'm mixed down as we speak. I got my mix all this shit down.
That's what's up, man. Let's get right to it, man. So what inspires you every day, man, you know, to continue to keep creating, man, making good music, man, because your buzz is crazy on Twitter, man. That's over 100,000 followers, man, so people know who Funk House is. So, like, you know, what keeps you going every day? Hello? Funk.
Easy Way Broadcasting is your connection for all things entertainment and business. Join Eric Easy Zuli and his celebrity hosts as they talk to the hottest people in the world of entertainment and they bring you the latest and greatest in the world of business. Eric welcomes his hosts to Blog Talk Radio 7 days a week. You will hear Mo Egger, Shane Sparks, Jackie Dollar, Rick Rosman, Gabriel Cannon, Vanessa Curry, and Jennifer Murphy. Visit www.easywaybroadcasting to find links to all the shows and info on upcoming events. And follow...
Okay. Yo, Funk House, we back, baby.
My bad, we had a few little difficulties.
I'm here, man.
Okay, yeah, I was asking, man, like, so what are some of your motivations, man? You know, your Twitter buzz is crazy, man. Your online presence is obviously immaculate. So what are you doing to stay inspired, man, throughout this whole process?
Really, man, I use all my losses to get ahead. You know, the loss of my grandmom, you know, my big brother who just passed away in the pen, rest in peace, Teddy Bear, you feel me? My mom, my daughter mom, you know, all them losses that I took, man, you know, a lot of cats will break, you know what I mean? They couldn't deal with it. You know what I mean? And staying strong through it. Me, I just put that shit all in music, you feel me? That's why all my stories are real, you know, I'm just speaking on real shit, keeping them real topics, and that's my motivation, you feel me?
All right, yeah, and I hear it in your music. Now, as far as I know, you haven't been rapping that long.
Nah, I've been freestyling for a minute, but I've been like serious about the music shit only since 2010. That's when I really took it serious.
Right, that's pretty cool.
So you know,
man.
it's like 3 years in a real, you know, being serious about it.
Right. Okay. So what's some advice you want to give to upcoming artists?
As far as like indie artists?
Yeah, independent artists that's trying to get on, they want to get their name out there, man. What advice would you give them?
I would tell an indie artist to create original work. Don't be stingy, invest in yourself. You got to. That's the only way the industry and people in the industry are going to respect you. You know, because if you're just sitting around waiting for a handout, it's a million people waiting for a handout, you know? But, you know, if you're going to put it in gear and really get the ball rolling, you got to get out there and invest in yourself. You got to put in footwork. You got to network. You know what I'm saying? You got to write your work. Got to make it happen.
That's it, man. You know, if you invest in yourself, nobody else will, man. So
nobody
you know,
will.
I'm happy you came on to the show, man. You know, tell everybody how they can get your Twitters and your Instagrams and your Facebooks.
Oh, yeah. Hit me up on Twitter, at Funkhouse. That's FONKHOUSE. Hit me on my Facebook, Funkhouse, FONKHOUSE. My Instagram, Funkhouse. You know, it's all FONKHOUSE. And you know what I'm saying? It's like nigga trying to take over this shit, man. In West Coast, you know what I'm saying? We overlooked right now. You know, they ain't respecting our lyrics. You know, they think we all about, you know, loud colors and dancing and videos, but they don't know, man. You know, it's a lot of lyricists out here, man. And I really tilt my hat to all the solid individuals in this rap game, man.
That's what's up.
You know,
man,
if it wasn't for niggas like...
I would say thanks again for joining us, man. Let's definitely connect soon on some music whenever you come down to LA, man. I know you probably are in Diego, but let's get it popping, man. That's Funk House, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to work ASAP, man. We're going to make it happen for sure, my nigga.
Let's get it, brother.
Hell yeah, man.
All right.
You know, other than that, man, I want to, you know, send a shout-out to you, you feel me, especially, you know, you gave niggas some dope-ass records, man. Anything that came from you was straight fire. Gas, you know, shout-out to my boy Stress Dollars, Killer, you know, my boy Chopper Black, the whole G-Unit camp. You know, man, we rocking, man, we working.
Let's get it. That's the boy Funk House, y'all, and y'all was sports to me. Man, we reached the conclusion of the show. Thanks again for joining us. I want you guys to tune in next week. Same time, same place, 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, of course. So, you know, we're going to be doing this every week, man. Make sure you guys go visit my website, www.moager.com.
Yeah.
That's MOEAGER.com. It's Easy Way Broadcasting, and we out here. Let's get it. Sports and music. Next week, y'all.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Y'all hear it?
Thank you for listening to Sports and Music with Mo Egger, only on Easy Way Broadcasting. Join Mo every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.